How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation. Welcome, listeners, to another episode of Off the Cusp Podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Michelle. That's coming down with a cold.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So we have some awesome news. Well, maybe not awesome news. So, listeners, you've known us for all of these four and going on the fifth episode as being Off the Cusp.
We're longtime friends now.
We are very close acquaintances. The thing is, in our first episode, if you remember, we got permission to use this name from a big dental conglomerate.
The Man. I'm going to call them The Man.
Let's call them The Man. And we told you, listeners, that we would continue to do this until they send us a cease and desist. Well, guess what?
It didn't take
They sent
long.
Us a cease and desist letter to stop using the name Off the Cusp. They were confused. What their lawyers had told us was that it would create confusion in the marketplace. And so Michelle and I have decided that it's easier to give the Man, Patterson Dental, what they want rather than trying to fight them and accrue a bunch of legal fees, etc.
And I wish you could see this and my eye rolling. I almost sprained an eye muscle when you said that. Because you are being much more business oriented and minded with this. And I'm, as per usual, being a little more emotional about it. So I'm like, why the hell you got to mess with us? Like, we're just the little guys. Go be your giant national company. Like, we're not going to do anything. And if there was any confusion, who cares? You're a blog or a podcast. I feel like completely two different medias. And if they were looking up Off the Cusp and they ran across your blog, you're welcome. But again, that's me being emotional and I'm sick. So that means I'm dialing it up just a little bit more than normal.
No, and I definitely agree. You have very, very valid points. And I know we've talked about this quite a bit. And it's very frustrating on our end. But what are you going to do? I mean, I think Sirona bought out Patterson Dental.
That's news to me.
I have to look at it again. I might be wrong on that one.
I can't keep track of corporate, like who buys out who and implant companies or they're joining and it's just.
Yeah, because then I think I saw that. I thought, and again, I could very well be wrong, but I thought the Dentsply went out and bought Sirona. So I'm not sure if that happened first and then what happened second. And there's just a lot of things. I did a bunch of Google searching and I'm sure I'm getting things jumbled up. But basically, you know, these multi-billion dollar, you know, companies versus little old podcasters and Michelle and Andrew. So
way to screw with the little guy.
So this is our game plan, listeners, and also the lawyers of Patterson Dental. This is also our game plan. Because we'll probably not talk to you anymore because you guys are mean and here's the thing. I mean, I should read some of the emails that they sent me.
Then we'll probably have even more lawyer fees from that.
Yeah. Well, you know what I was thinking though too is I was thinking about, I think that every time that a lawyer has to send like an email or make a phone call or whatever, that they end up billing, you know, whatever company. So for these guys, they're not like in-house counsel for Patterson Dental. They are a different law firm. So I was thinking about just giving her phone calls and be like, hey, let's talk about this for an hour and keep running up the billing rates. That way Patterson has to keep paying a bunch of money for it.
Sticking it to the man.
Just taking some parting shots as we roll over.
I know. And then we have to be like professionals about it. We don't want to burn bridges with anybody. Look at me being a grown up.
Yeah. Oh, this is so businesslike of you all of a sudden.
I know.
It's because you're sick. You don't know what you're talking about. You're delirious. Well, I think, you know, on the Patterson side and on if Serona owns them or however that even works, I don't even know.
Yeah.
But on our end of it, it's, well, we'll probably never ever work for them. But we did try and work with them. And I think that's really important. You know, again, I kind of wish I could read some of the emails, but we put out a lot of scenarios, including disclaimers, including we told them that, you know, they could do, you know, some free commercials or whatever, as long as they kind of just left us alone. Because our paths will never, ever, ever cross in media. So, you know, whatever. And then they, you know, they filed for a trademark in December on the 7th, I think is what it was. So in preparation of this email that they were going to be writing to us, they said, okay, let's get our ducks in a row. We've had a blog since 2011.
Yeah.
So therefore, we own the whole entire term off the cusp, which, you know, I looked up a bunch of things. You know, if you Google that term, there it's everywhere. I mean, people have had that for years on their corporate newsletters and things like that. They didn't make that up.
No.
So it's kind of frustrating.
It's an idiom that is used often, but that's what us trying. We thought we were being witty, but
yeah, we thought we made ours up for it too. So whatever. So, anyways, listeners, that's what's going on with the name. So, in the future, look for a different name. You won't have to subscribe to a different podcast. I don't think we're going to try and work on the back end of the iTunes side of it just to make sure. But you know, we're going to try and keep the same logo fairly similar. It won't have like it says now, off the cusp with Michelle and Andrew. That'll be changed slightly, but it'll have the same tooth for familiarity. And then later on down the line, we'll revamp all that just as we keep going and getting better at what we're doing.
Right.
At this little project that we're working on that will, you know,
one day it will not be amateur hour anymore.
No. Well, you know, we actually just recorded that. Well, we won't say who it is, but a guest for the future.
Yes.
And she was awesome. I felt like it was less amateurish than our past episodes. Well, you know, what's interesting too is, you know, you just got back from your trip. Since the listeners heard you last, we had a whole pediatric roundtable without you.
And it was super awesome. By the way. Yeah. And thanks for not including me in that. I did learn a lot though. I was listening to that and, in Nicaragua, I treated more children than I have my entire career.
I'm so proud of you.
And that's not even a joke. I legit probably in the first day saw more kids than I saw in my whole career. So it was kind of cool because I came back with like either some questions or things that I needed to start like investigating for next year's trip. I've already said I want to go in August to Uganda and to Nicaragua in December. And I definitely had some great interviews while I was there. So I'm trying to edit that podcast so that we can have that as an episode because it was super awesome. I had a great time. Great people. I'm sick, but that's the bummer. But
that's okay, though.
Yeah,
so I think we'll look for that episode probably the beginning of the year sometime once we get it all cut down and edited.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun. That'd be a good episode. Cause I saw lots of pictures on your Facebook feed that had you interviewing about 1,000 people. So
yeah,
it's very interesting.
My team mates definitely put up with me. And on the last day, we all had name tags and we did like a little Spanish theme and I was like Michelina and underneath it, it said the interviewer.
So, nice. Well, Uganda sounds like a nice goal for next year. Maybe I'll try and join you on that one if I can. And
heck yeah.
I think that would be really fun for, we could get a lot of podcasts off of that one. But.
Just the culture and just the things that you would learn there. I mean, not only just outside of dentistry, but just what you learn about that. I love that country. So.
Well, I'm excited about that. Well, guess what you came back to, though? I just saw something this morning.
Oh, please fill me in.
Okay, let me tell you all about it. It was from dentalproductsreport.com, and it's titled, Nevada Becomes First State to Allow Dental Hygienists to Use Facial Injectables. And one of the quotes on there said, this is from their editorial director, Kara, who you guys might know as Kara RDH.
Right.
She says, there has been a lot of talk among the hygiene community around having our areas of practice being encroached upon. While this has been a concern for many, there's also some good news coming out of the state of Nevada. Nevada, whatever. allowing for expanded duties of dental hygienists. In a new advisory policy statement, the Nevada State Board of Dental Examiners has confirmed that Nevada dentists, dental hygienists, who possess the necessary skills and training are now permitted to administer Botox and dermal fillers. Like standard dental hygiene duties, hygienists must administer facial injectables under direct supervision of a licensed dentist who has the same skills and training to administer facial injectables. So, and I know that they're working with the American Academy of Facial Aesthetics to kind of nail down some of the, what do you guys need to have as far as the education.
Right.
And all the requirements side of things. And I'm sure it'll be highly regulated. But what do you think about that?
Immediate reaction is, can I do this to myself?
You'd want to sit there and poke yourself and give yourself Botox, is what you're saying.
I'm saying I am not opposed to Botox. If you want to shoot my whole face up to prevent wrinkles, I would do it. At the same time, I don't eat meat because I don't like what's in our food. Obviously have some issues, but I guess it depends on which aspect you're coming from. If you're coming from aesthetics alone, it's like meh. But if you're coming from a need, maybe pain management, I'm trying to think. What else are they using Botox for?
I feel like they do it for like migraines is one of the ones I feel like they do a lot of.
Right.
And I unfortunately, I don't really know a whole lot about. I know that
I do either.
There's a lot of dentists that do Botox injections. And I know there's, it's state by state from what I understand.
South Carolina, they can do it.
Yeah, so a lot of dentists are frustrated because there's only a few states I think that can't, or it might be vice versa, and they want to be able to offer that service. On my end of it, my reaction is it's not a popular opinion, but I think this is one of the stupidest things that I've ever heard of hygienists being able to do this. I don't mind the doctors doing it. I know it's going to sound kind of counterintuitive since I'm a huge proponent of hygienists doing local anesthesia. But from the, from a business standpoint, it makes so much sense to have a hygienist who is trained and who does have the education behind local anesthetics and, emergency protocols and things like that, that they can give local anesthesia, because it just makes sense that you don't have to bother the doctor as much. And that, maybe if you're a hygienist that also does assisting somewhat, you can explain better to the patient what's going on with the anesthetics, why we chose what anesthetics we did, why we're using as much as we were using, all the questions that maybe a dental assistant wouldn't know the answers to. But for me, it's just, it feels very gimmicky to me. And I feel like we've come so far in the profession, and we're always, trying to prove ourselves, especially to the doctors, the American Dental Association. Hey, take us seriously. And now we're fighting for Botox and dermal fillers. And I think I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
If I had to say, because, I'm not a huge fan of spa dentistry. Like, as a hygienist, if I went into an office, I would not enjoy putting people's hands in hand warmers and giving hand massages and all of this stuff, which as a patient, I probably would enjoy. But as a hygienist, I that's just not my thing. I do feel like that's more gimmicky. But for injectable purposes, I feel like it is a gimmick, but it's still using our skill set. Like a hand massage is not within my skill set. You know, like, does that make sense?
You mean, well, I don't know. If you can do a head and neck exam, I feel like you could probably do a hand massage.
But there's a purpose to the head, neck, and exam. Like looking for those lumps and bumps that aren't supposed to be there. Hand massage is just relaxing and, you know, helping, you know, the patient.
Can you imagine though, the postcards are going to go out? It's like, here, you know, if you get a cleaning and exam and x-rays, then we'll, you know, give you some Botox for free. Or while you're getting your teeth cleaned by your hygienist, your doctor will be shooting up your eyebrows.
Right. Again, it's going to be how it's used. Is it going to be aesthetics only, or are we doing it for pain management? Or, you know, I know that there was an office that was using it for those patients that had that real gummy smile. And that lip line is super high. And it used to be the option was orthognathic surgery. And now they're injecting into that lip, like those facial muscles, so that lip doesn't come up so high. I think that's reasonable. I mean, you're saving that person from going into orthognathic surgery.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the dentist's responsibility. So dentist, go ahead and keep doing that.
Keep doing that.
And I don't know, I just don't think that we need to be doing that as a profession. But you can just go ahead and go to our Facebook page and send me all your hate mail.
Send it to Andrew.
I don't care. I'm okay with that.
I also think, too, sometimes they might use it for, like, TMJ issues.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Like, inject, like, that pterygoid muscle that's always spasming or something like that. So I think that would be within – I don't know. I would have to think on that. Since this is news to me and my head is literally foggy – I probably should not voice a very stern opinion on it.
What else should we start talking about our interview that we had?
Yeah.
We had Angie Stone, and it was just a fantastic interview.
She's awesome.
She is just the best. We talked, again, we say this too many times. We didn't stop saying it, but we could talk to her for hours. She's so
really cool
personable.
People. Yes. Yeah.
When you get some really crappy people is what it is, and so we don't say that as much.
It's so we shouldn't say this, but maybe if you don't hear us say how great they were, then they were like, meh.
Exactly. So if you don't hear us brag about you, then you probably weren't that good in the interview.
Oh, God. So, we're never going to get any more interviewees.
Well, Angie Stone is from High Life, and we talked a lot about xylitol.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a lot about the dental profession with –
elder care.
Elder care is what it was. Yeah. Talked a lot about elder. We talked a lot about elder care. And she was one that said, if you guys have any questions, contact me. So we will put the information on the Facebook page / also on the notes for in iTunes.
Yeah.
So go ahead and look there.
And this interview came at a perfect time because Angie's whole, which is High Life, her business, highlifellc.com, and it's HYLIFELLC.com. And she's doing elder care, and she's going into assisted living facilities and nursing homes. And this past week, actually, this has been a month ongoing. So my grandfather falls often. He's 88 years old. He falls. He fell. My grandma tried to help him up, who is 86, fell and broke her hip and her shoulder and just busted up her face. So these people couldn't be more important in my life. So I've definitely been trying to be going to the hospital and to the rehab center now. So she's had her surgery. She's in rehab. In the hospital, I would go and brush her teeth there. And now that she's in rehab, I'm going to brush her teeth and care for her. And I feel like all the people who are getting frustrated with their careers and love elderly and love the geriatric population – I cannot stress to you how awesome this would be if you got involved with them. So check it out, because what I'm witnessing at the moment makes me want to go do it. And I know I have zero time to do anything outside of what I'm already doing, but it's like, oh my gosh, they need it. They need it so bad. And you really could make a profession off of it, I think, a career out of it at least. So
I agree.
That's why I thought, I was like, this is such a perfect timing for this interview.
And it feels great to, you know, a lot of those types of serendipitous things happen. It feels like with our interviewees, it comes at the right time for us, and you know, hopefully it comes to, you know, to the right time for some of you people as well. Before we play the interview though, on behalf of Michelle and I, as a personal note to Angie, congratulations on getting your Highlight Oral Health Center all set up. We saw some pictures on Facebook. I think it was a few days ago, or it might've been about a week ago.
Yeah.
But did you get a chance to see all those pictures?
I did.
Oh, it's beautiful. So she's ready for some clients, and you know, the corporate office is getting all set up. So, that's exciting. Yeah. So congratulations, Angie. Yeah. And thank you again for being on our show.
So enjoy our interview with Angie Stone, highlifellc.com. We enjoyed it, and I know you will too.
So welcome to the interview portion of Off the Cusp podcast. We are here with Angie Stone, which I am super excited about because I've met Angie, I think last year. Angie actually started her career in the Navy as a dental assistant. She completed her enlistment and then continued to assist while obtaining her hygiene career. And one thing I think is pretty cool, because I always joke about this, but Angie practiced hygiene and then completed her bachelor's in psychology. And I always say you almost need a minor in psychology to be a dental hygienist. And she taught in dental assisting and dental hygiene programs. She's also provided like on-site education to dental professionals in like 40 states, DC, five countries and territories. And she also has quite a few published articles. Her original research regarding xylitol and elders, which is where I discovered Angie personally. And she has a awesome book called Dying from Dirty Teeth that was launched in March. And it became a Amazon bestseller, which is really cool. And now she has her company, High Life, which brings oral care services to dependent elders, because we really shouldn't die from dirty teeth. Right, Angie?
That's absolutely right, Michelle. That's become my tagline. And I didn't really plan it that way, but I kept saying it over and over. And when I was sitting with a few people trying to figure out the title for my book, and I had said, we shouldn't die from dirty teeth. And they're like, Angie, that is it. That is your tagline. I'm like, well, I didn't think about it. So,
well, the best things come organically, don't they?
They do. Well, they do.
We're excited to have you on the podcast today. I have been a huge fan of the concept of High Life. And actually, when I went to leave my private practice before I got my job as the educational manager for TEPE, I really considered looking into becoming a caregiver with High Life. So I kind of want to start with that, because that's the part that I'm most interested in, is what High Life is and what it's doing and how a dental hygienist can get involved with High Life.
Well, thanks for asking, Michelle. Thanks for asking those questions. And also, thank you for having me here tonight. It's super duper exciting to spend some time with you and then also be able to talk about my passion, which is elder care and being a hygienist and all those great things that we get to do as hygienists. And to answer your question, High Life is a company, High Life Oral Care Services. And what we are doing is we are providing oral care, obviously, to dependent elders. And when I say that, the first thing that comes to dental professionals' minds when I say that, they're like, oh, you're cleaning teeth in nursing homes. You know, oh, how can you do that? How can, you know, there's so many laws. And I'm like, you know, we're really not cleaning teeth in nursing homes. And there's a lot of reasons that we're not doing that. And we can talk about that a little bit more. But we are having hygienists learn how to be oral care specialists with our company. And then we are helping them to kind of create their own little business of going in and doing oral care.
Nice. And so how did it start? How did you get this idea and this concept?
Well, it's been a long time coming, and like you just said, oh boy, organic things are the best. I tell people, I could not have dreamt this up. I could not, I would not be able to tell somebody what was going to happen to me after my mother-in-law passed away in a nursing home. And at that point, I'd only been a hygienist for a short time. That was in 2003 when she passed away. And what I noticed is that once she got in the nursing home, there was nobody there to help her with her oral care, and she wasn't paying attention to it herself. And I could see the periodontal disease on her lower teeth. She had an upper denture. She also was suffering from COPD, which we all know is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, meaning that you're on oxygen and your lungs are infected and you can't breathe. It's horrible. Awful. The medical team could not keep her lungs clear. Antibiotic after antibiotic, and then again, and the infections would come back. And I'm standing there looking at her, and like, I know that some of this is coming from her mouth that I can't treat. So I'm embarrassed to say, I just kind of watched it happen, but I was a baby hygienist, if you will. And, yeah. You know, we're, it's beat into our brains that we can't, you know, break the rules. Goodness forbid, you know, because you'll lose your license. And so I was scared to death to do anything. But when she died, I vowed to her that I was going to do something. Oh, and at that point, I had no idea what. And so what's happened 13 years later is I understand that even if we as hygienists can clean the teeth, which we do clean the teeth of nursing home people and dependent adults, there we go. You know, I mean, we can clean their teeth, but in 3 months they can come back to us and they are a mess.
A mess.
Right?
A complete mess. Yes.
I mean, so it's not even about cleaning their teeth. It's about controlling the bacteria on a regular basis, because the three of us that are here, we don't need to see a hygienist every 6 months, no matter what we think is hygienist, right? Because we can do good home care.
Exactly.
You take that away and, something is not, it doesn't work anymore once you can't take care of yourselves.
Absolutely. And that's what I teach my students in hygiene school. I always tell them, I can teach you to be a great clinician, and you could scale those root surfaces and rid all the disease, infection, and activity in their mouth. But it means nothing if you didn't teach them to take care of their mouth while in the interim, when you're not seeing them. So this is exactly what you were seeing in the nursing homes and assisted living that you go into as well, or is it just nursing homes?
No, it's interesting. My experiences have been in the nursing homes. Okay. And so I thought that that's where this was going to go. And in fact, the nursing home population needs it most. Mm-hmm. It seems to be kind of a mentality of once someone's in the nursing home, they don't have long to live. So why worry?
That's
pathetic to me. I'm like, that's terrible. For 3 years, which is your average span of living in a nursing home, if you have dental disease, it just doesn't matter because you're going to die anyway. So what we're finding is that the assisted living centers there's several reasons, but the assisted living centers seem to be more in tune to what we're trying to do, because they want to keep their residents healthy so that mm-hmm. they don't go into the nursing homes. And the other interesting thing is that most of the assisted living facilities are private pay. They are accustomed to paying for services, which our services at this point are fee for service, because I don't know yet, how to get this covered by Medicaid.
Oh, well, I mean, it's the government, so good luck.
Yeah. Yes.
Good luck with that feat. But, you know, this is just so interesting because it is what we as hygienists have understood is that we are managing medical diseases of the mouth, essentially, and the mouth is connected to the rest of the body. I don't know why we have always operated as if the head is a completely different body part than the rest of the body and has no connection. But it's also, so you're doing good for their oral health, but you're actually keeping them from being hospitalized so frequently. And isn't this kind of where your xylitol research has come into play?
Yes, absolutely. What we've discovered, or what I've discovered with reading research and things, is that most of the cases of aspiration pneumonia, okay, aspiration pneumonia, you get bacteria into your lungs, and aspiration pneumonia bacteria in your lungs is not a good thing. And if you're an elder and your health is compromised, and in the first place, bacteria in your lungs can take you out of this life very quickly. And most of the residents, or a lot of residents, will be dying from aspiration pneumonia. And so the reduction of bacteria in the mouth can help lessen that incidence of aspiration pneumonia, because almost all aspiration pneumonia comes from the mouth. Isn't that crazy?
It is kind of crazy, but it isn't. And the only reason it's not crazy to myself is because my thesis research was in interdisciplinary collaboration and the need for dental hygienists in the ICU. Mm-hmm. And what I found in my research was that a ventilated associated pneumonia, which is kind of like aspiration pneumonia, where the bacteria goes down the trach and when they're ventilated, that's considered a nosocomial infection, and insurance will not pay for that. So the oral care in the hospital setting is actually increasing because they were losing millions of dollars on care for these ICU patients when they were contracting this nosocomial infection. So it makes sense that your elder geriatric population would also be suffering from that. So let me break down nosocomial infection, because it's kind of a big word that not everyone understands. But nosocomial infection is pretty much just an infection you acquire while you are in the hospital. So you didn't go in to, you know, you went in for a double bypass, but you came out with a UTI because you were in the hospital and you acquired that infection while you were there. So the insurance companies do not look kindly upon you contracting infection while being hospitalized. They don't feel they need to pay for that. So it was such a interesting thing to learn. And it really opened my eyes to why hygienists are needed in so many different settings. But I honestly, your research on xylitol, I think that would be a great way to incorporate it into hospital settings, because some of your interesting findings are with pneumonia and UTIs, correct?
There are some things. My research didn't look at pneumonia reduction with the use of xylitol, and it didn't specifically look at reduction of UTIs with xylitol. The research was conducted, it was small scale, and we did the research in a nursing home, and we had some residents using the xylitol, which what we did is we came in to the nursing home and taught the certified nursing assistants how to administer the xylitol. And the cool thing is that xylitol is over the counter. Xylitol products that are sweetened with xylitol are over the counter. So there's no big, you know, to have to, oh my goodness, I need a prescription. I need yada, yada, yada. So it was super easy to incorporate. And you're giving someone gum or mints or tooth gel that tastes delicious. So what we were able to note is that the amount of plaque on the teeth at the beginning of the research comparative to the plaque on the teeth at the end of the research after they had 12 weeks of xylitol therapy was absolutely amazing. We were able to reduce that plaque on the teeth simply by getting the xylitol into the mouth. What we have noticed since then is we do have other people that weren't in the study using xylitol protocols in nursing homes. And some of the people that are using it, their caretakers, their family members are like, oh my goodness, guess what? Mom hasn't had a UTI in X amount of months, where she was getting a UTI every month, or, you know, something like that. So we are noticing that there's a lessening of UTI infections with xylitol usage. And again, the aspiration pneumonia, that just makes sense, because if you're lessening the bacteria in the mouth and the bacteria then is not able to do their job, of course, we're going to lessen aspiration pneumonia rates.
Makes perfect sense. So if you are a caretaker in as a part of High Life, so you're pretty much doing toothbrushing, you're doing interdental care, and you're giving supplements for xylitol. And with something, even though it seems so basic, it is so important, and it makes a huge difference in their oral health and overall systemic health.
You're right. And I love that, Michelle. I kind of giggled when you said it's so simple. I'm like, yes, it is really simple, people. This is not rocket science. And I think dental professionals, particularly dentists, will look at me and say, oh, Angie, you know, this isn't possible. This can't help. I'm like, why can't it? Is that not what we preach all day, every day to the people in our chairs, is to keep the plaque off their teeth, right? Because we know yeah. that keeping the plaque off your teeth gives you less chance of tooth decay, gives you less chance of gingivitis, which in turn gives you less chance of periodontal disease. I mean, it's what we do. But everybody wants to make this like it's this huge issue that can't possibly be tackled. And it's like, yes, it can. The problem is they cannot provide the oral care for themselves.
Exactly.
And nobody else is doing it. So who better than a hygienist? Who better on the face of the planet to, you know, take care of oral hygiene than a hygienist? It, to me, it's just a no-brainer, Michelle. And it just maddens me that people are like, oh, it's got to be so rough. Go ahead, Andrew.
So Angie, I just, a couple of questions real quick. You know, we do a lot of xylitol in our offices, and it's a fantastic product. But can you go ahead and give some of our listeners, maybe some brand names, a little more specificity to gums versus mints versus additives to their coffees and things like that, things that you recommend personally?
Absolutely. So I'm just going to start this little bit of conversation off that I was the lead xylitol educator in the country for 5.5 years. So I'm well-versed on xylitol. I've hung around in that arena for quite some time. And I just recently resigned that position at the end of July so that I have time to move High Life forward. So talk about scary, just resigning a job that's paying you, you know, decent money for something that isn't giving you hardly any money. So that's a whole nother topic, I understand, but we could talk about that for a while too. So for the xylitol, what we need to be sure of as dental professionals is if we're going to recommend that someone uses xylitol for the purpose of reducing bacteria in the mouth and plaque on the teeth, we need to be sure that those products are good quality products. Okay. And what that means is that it has to have enough xylitol in the product so that we can get the recommended dosage of xylitol each day. There are companies that are throwing some xylitol into their products. And when you look at their ingredient list, the xylitol is not the first ingredient, which it should be for improving dental health. Xylitol should be the first ingredient in your product, and it should be the only sweetener. Now, people are like, oh, Angie, we hand out Trident. I'm like, that's great. That's a great chewing gum because it tastes really good. What else? Well, it has xylitol. Yeah, I get it, but it has like a couple of specks of xylitol in it. So then what happens is this is crazy. This cracks me up too. People are like, well, we're having our patients use xylitol, but it just doesn't work. I'm like, what are you giving them? You know, what products? Oh, well, we're giving them, you know, just stuff that you find at Walmart, Kmart, Target, your grocery stores. Those are not the quality products. It's kind of like, the way I like to explain it is, if you have somebody that has a lot of demineralization, okay, and you want them on a fluoride protocol, are you going to send them down to Walgreens to get ACT fluoride rinse to help them with the remineralization?
No, probably not.
Not so much. Thank goodness, because they need something that has more fluoride in it, like a Prevadent or something like that. So it's the same with the xylitol. You need enough of it. And the recommended dosage to improve oral health is 6 to 10 grams per day. Okay.
So that's, now,
that actually sounds like a lot.
And I was just going to say, the next things would be like, oh my gosh, Angie, that's so much xylitol. It is easy peasy. Okay. We call strive for five. That's it. This is easy. So if you have good quality xylitol product, this is what we do. Toothpaste mouthwash in the morning, that delivers about 2 grams. Toothpaste mouthwash in the night, that delivers about another 2 grams. And then in the Spry line, which the Spry is the leading manufacturer, Clear is the company, but the dental line is Spry. They're the leading manufacturers of 100% xylitol sweetened products in the country. So with their product line, if you use 2 mints or 2 gums after each meal for 5 minutes, you're good. It's easy. And once your patients get the xylitol into their mouth after they eat, they're like, oh my gosh, this makes my mouth feel so clean. And it's very easy for them to get into the groove with that. And they only need the gum for 5 minutes and they can spit it out.
So simple. I mean, it makes complete sense. And just so we know, for our listeners know, that Clear is spelled with an X, X-L-E-A-R. And I actually love their nose spray, which has xylitol in it. It helps I have the worst allergies. I'm like a hypochondriac, I think, a little bit when it comes to sinus problems. And I swear it has made a huge difference for me. So it's not just that you can get xylitol in a mint or gum or toothpaste. It can be sprayed up your nose, which is so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a couple minutes, if that's okay.
Sure.
So everybody, when we hand out samples of nasal spray, they're like, oh, what is this? Eye drops? I'm like, no, it's a nasal spray. What? What? A nasal spray with xylitol? Why would you ever put xylitol up your nose? I'm like, why would you put xylitol in your mouth? And they look at me. I'm like, so why do you put it in your mouth? And they're like, well, because it prevents the plaque and it prevents tooth decay. I'm like, okay, so back that up a little bit. Why is it preventing the plaque? What is it doing? It's altering the bacteria's ability to create acid. So now let's think about the nasal cavity, right? So in the mouth, that's one way to entrance into the body, and we can get bacteria growing in our mouth. Our mouth is dark, moist, warm. And the bacteria can grow like none other. Think about the nose. In the back of the nose, it's dark, it's moist, it's warm. And we have all the bacteria that we come in contact with in the day is either coming into us via our mouth or our nose. All of our allergens, our pollutants, bacteria are all coming into our nose. And we have this really cool system in the nose that our body tries to keep us healthy. And that's with cilia and mucus and things like that. And when that doesn't work, okay, this is, listen up. Okay. Did you know that the first sign that you're getting sick is boogers?
Well, that's actually, very interesting.
So what happens is we get overloaded with the pollutants and the bacteria and the allergens. And now that dries up all of the fluid that is between the cilia and the mucus, right? So now we're all dried up and everything that comes in gets stuck and it gets crunchy. And that's our first sign that something is not working properly. We should not have boogers if our immune system is working properly.
That's
so
great.
When you put xylitol in your nose, we know that xylitol hydrates. That's another good thing about it in the mouth is for our dry mouth sufferers. In the nasal cavity, it keeps that the cilia moist. It keeps the mucus moist so that our body can do its job naturally. But it also then creates the bacteria. It renders them unable to stick, because all our upper respiratory troubles start in the back of our nose.
I actually would love the research on that, because I actually am working with another little company with airways. So I love chatting with people and learning these little tidbits. It's so great. That was more information than I ever thought I would learn tonight. So
get this. That nasal spray was developed by Dr. Lon Jones in Texas. And he was reducing middle ear infections in the children in his practice by 93% when the children were having the nasal spray administered at every diaper change. One drop of nasal spray each nostril at every diaper change.
Wow.
And that was the birth of the company Clear in 1999. And so that the nasal spray was the first product of the company. All the dental stuff is an afterthought.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that alone is super interesting. I mean, great. That kind of blows my mind a little bit that it all started with the nose.
I know.
And now it's this great also dental company.
Yes, yes. And the team of xylitol educators that Clear has on board, they have CE programs. Dental professionals can earn up to 8 free CEs from this team of xylitol educators. And one of their programs is all about the upper respiratory effects of xylitol and how it works. And it's all for free. And they send samples afterwards.
Just so our listeners have that information, where do they just go to Clear's website? Or
no, they would go to xylitoleducators.com. So it's xylitol educators with an s.com. And then all of the courses are listed there. All of the educators are listed there. And you can reach out to any one of the educators. And if you're in someone else's area, they will be happy to connect you with the educator in your area.
So because one of the things that Andrew and I want to explore and be able to deliver to our listeners is how, if they wanted to get out of private practice, there are different options for jobs as a hygienist. So how did you actually become the lead xylitol educator for Clear?
That's a great question. You guys have great questions. This is awesome. I think we could just talk for 3 hours.
I feel like that often in these podcasts, and we learn so much.
Angie, before you answer that, I want to just suck up a little bit. I know this is an audio podcast, but I had to go run and grab this real quick for off of my counter. And I'm not really sure if Michelle has any of those where she's at, but this is, it's a spray, oral rinse.
Oral rinse.
Mm-hmm. I actually use it. This may not be the right way to use it, but every night before I go to bed, I have a night guard. Mm-hmm. And so I actually, as I'm doing my normal routine anyways, is I actually kind of soak my night guard in it a little bit and then put it in. Mm-hmm. And that way I know it feels fresh for one, but I feel like I'm doing a little bit more justice than my regular rinse than putting it in later.
Yes. And I would agree with that because you're getting the xylitol in your mouth. And anytime you can get xylitol in your mouth before you sleep is a good thing, because we know that those bacteria love the nighttime, right? Because ain't nobody bugging them. If you can get the xylitol in there before you go to bed for them to eat through the night, your breath won't stink so bad in the morning either.
That's what my wife says.
Well, I'm learning all kinds of things tonight because I also wear a night guard and I'm going to start trying that out. I feel like wearing a night guard, it should be a religion. Everybody should have it and wear it. I love my night guard. So yay, I'm going to try that. I need to go buy spray. I only have the nose spray and the toothpaste. So I need to get a rinse, apparently.
And Michelle, you know that you can have your own account directly with Clear? And that you get wholesale pricing?
No, I did not know that. So
yes, all dental professionals can have their own account. You don't need to rely on a dental office or a dentist. You can have your own account and you always get wholesale pricing, which is 40% off of retail.
Oh, and I love
Holy
a sale.
Moly.
I'm a sucker for a sale.
Okay, Angie, I'm sorry. I know we are going to get back to how you got into doing this, but explain that process real quick. On how to have our own account. What do we have to do?
Okay, so you can simply call Clear's customer service line at 877-599-5327. and let them know that you are a dental professional and that you'd like to place an order, and they will give you wholesale pricing.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Holy moly. We are learning all kinds of things tonight, Andrew.
We had a dentist that was kind of filling in temporarily at our office, and he's what we call a traveling dentist, and he was all about it. And he's actually the first person that ever told me about, Andrew, what you were talking about earlier with the earaches in children and how xylitol products can greatly reduce it. And so he must have heard that or read that literature somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so as his going away present, I bought him a 5-pound bag of granulated xylitol from one of the health food stores. Although it was like $30, I'm like, oh, that's really expensive. But if I would have had 40% off, I would have been a lot more happy.
Yeah, you could have saved yourself some bucks, Andrew.
Oh, man. That's actually really awesome. I didn't realize you could do the sugar, like the granulated sugar too.
Oh, my gosh. It's great. You can cook with it. You can bake with it. My mom has these signature cakes that she makes, you know, like in a sheet cake pan. One is called the Texas sheet cake, and she makes these fantastic pumpkin bars. And she now makes them with a xylitol, which has 40% fewer calories. The glycemic index of xylitol is 7, so it's great for our diabetics. The glycemic index of sugar is 83.
Holy moly.
And nobody in the family even realized that it was not sweetened with sugar.
Well, I don't believe it for one, Angie. So if you can have her send me some, I'll let you know how that goes.
So Andrew, you just send me your address and I will see if we can't get you some sent out. It might be a little hard when it gets there, but
that's okay.
It works fantastic. There's a cookbook that you can order from Clear. I mean, you can get the straight up xylitol from Clear. It's fantastic.
Yeah. That's so great. Andrew's actually only doing these podcasts so he can get food from people, from our
guests.
Pretty
much. I mean, food from around the world. That's all I live for.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, I mean, seriously, we could go on for days about this, but I really am interested how you became the leader of xylitol.
Well, there is this absolutely fantastic organization called Career Fusion, and I don't know if either of you have heard of Career Fusion, but I
just
am
learned about it.
Good. I am pretty much a poster child for Career Fusion. I've been there 7 times, I believe, 7 or 8 wow. times. And the way that I got to be the lead xylitol educator, and this is not always what happens from Career Fusion, but this is my story. I was at Career Fusion, and they give us each an opportunity to do a little bit of speaking, particularly as you've been there longer. And the owner of the company, Clear, was they are corporate partners. They've been corporate partners of Career Fusion for many, many years. And they were in the process of hiring salespeople. This was in 2010. In the process of hiring a sales force, and they heard me speak. And they were surrounded by other hygienists for a week. And the owner called the gentleman that was hiring the salespeople and said, stop the process. We are hiring hygienists.
Oh, that's a great story. Doesn't that feel good?
Yes. Yes.
Great when and that happened.
So that's how I obtained that that position. But I'd been doing a lot of other things outside of clinical hygiene, doing a lot of writing, doing some speaking, you know, things like that. So you got to be open and you have to get outside of your box, because nothing different is going to happen if you stay in the box where it's comfortable.
That is a great point. And I actually just wrote a little blog, and I was talking about, with frustration comes change. So sometimes when you get a little frustrated in your clinical practice, it does encourage you to start thinking outside of the box a little bit more. And what a great, great position that you had. Yeah. And like Andrew and I with this podcast, I mean, this is definitely outside of, well, we both enjoy podcasts, but this is definitely outside of our box a little bit. And I mean, we've learned so many great things from our guests, and we're really enjoying it ourselves. So,
you know, it's always, I think that it's a really good idea to be a host of a podcast until you have these giants in the hygiene, the field, just answering and questioning us and how are you guys doing this and how are you doing that? We're like, I don't know. You just teach us everything that you know. And it's very intimidating. And you know, you want to sound smart in front of these idols that you have. And so it's definitely, you know, outside of our comfort zone for sure.
Yeah, it really is. Because I feel like too, you're a speaker, Angie, and Andrew speaks and I speak, but we're always still learning. And even though you want to be like the expert in something, you can't know everything. And especially in the US, we are such a large country. What happens on the East Coast to the West Coast, the Midwest, it's just so very different. So you want to, like he says, you want to sound smart, like you know what you're doing, but there's no way that you can grasp everything that's happening in across the nation. So I think you do have to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and be humbled a little bit and still willing to grow and pursue, which is kind of what you've, I mean, you have a book for crying out loud. So
that's a story too. Oh boy. I did not ever think I would write a book. I had my mentor just beating me up about writing a book. And I'm like, I'm not writing a book. Get off my case. So I finally thought I would appease her by doing a chapter in an anthology book. I'm like, okay, that's my book. You happy now? And of course she wasn't happy. And it's just a crazy story. Again, this is stuff I can't make up. I went kicking and screaming to an event called Bookbound. I did not want to be there. I went because I didn't have to, you know, pay for much of anything. I was someone's guest and they were, you know, at me. I'm like, I do not want to do this. But the experience was nothing less than fantastic. And out of it, I left there with an outline for a book. And the book came to market about maybe 20 months later, 18 months later. But I never envisioned it. You guys, I am a hygienist from Edgerton, Wisconsin, population 4,500. And I was a solo practitioner in a one dentist office. So, you know, I didn't ever envisioned that I would have done what I've done. And it's not just special for me. The only thing that's special about it is that I went outside my comfort zone and I stayed there, even though it was very uncomfortable sometimes. But that's what
I think that's always, I think that's great to hear from somebody who is out there doing it, that it wasn't easy to start and it was a little scary maybe. And you don't always envision it. It just kind of happens.
So Angie, we're getting up to our time here, and you know, on behalf of Michelle and I, we really want to thank you. I think I speak for both of us and we could talk to you for hours and hours, and for sure. I mean, if you have time, hopefully you'll come back and give us some more of your expertise and knowledge, maybe in a future episode.
I would love that. Absolutely.
That'd be great. Well, thank you for your time this evening. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. And then we'll hope to see you in the future.
Can I just tell everybody what my website is so that if they're interested in more about High Life, you can always go out to High Life. Now it's H-Y, like hygiene, HYLIFELLC.com. And if you're interested in my book, you can purchase that from my website and you can purchase it from Amazon as well. And you can contact me from the website. There's a, you know, contact us. It comes right to me. So if anybody wants to reach out, has any questions about anything we talked about, feel free to contact me.
And make sure that you put the LLC in the website as well. That's a very important distinction that I messed up on earlier.
And I would definitely highly encourage, there's a CE that you offer on High Life or through High Life that I took, loved it. And just, you know, if you're interested in elder care or geriatric care, I highly look into becoming a caregiver because I learned so much from taking the CE and it really was a motivating factor for me to go out and become a caregiver. It was so interesting. So I encourage our listeners. And I also encourage any of the students who are going to graduate, or we have new grads, if you just loved working with a geriatric demographic, this might be perfect for you. It really might. So definitely look into that. There's something outside of clinical.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome. All right. Well, thank you again, Angie.
Thank you, guys. You have a wonderful evening, and we'll chat soon.
Please.
Awesome. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.